Anyway, we're going through the major doctrines of the Bible as an introduction this year. We're definitely not scoping out the depths, but we're giving an introduction. Ethan just finished angelology, the study of angels. I haven't listened to his last one yet, but by the way, if you miss one, they're all online. Sooner or later, I get them there. I know my son Josh down in Texas is listening to all of them. And so just understand that that is available to you. And I encourage you, there's absolutely no reason to miss a sermon if you ever have to be gone, because we have the technology to listen to them anytime. So I encourage you to do that, because all of these add to your knowledge, and this is necessary knowledge. I want to give you the overview of where we're going with anthropology. Anthropos, or anthropos as I would say it, is the generic name for man or mankind. It's not the word for male, per se. It's what we would call a human being, okay? The anthropology is the study of mankind or human beings. We're going to look at this in four sections. I think it'll be 4 weeks. We'll see. We're going to look at man's creation today. Then we're going to look at man's condemnation next week. Following that, we're going to look at man's conduct, how we're supposed to act and all of that, and then man's completion or end. So that's where we're going to be the next 4 weeks. By the end of the month, there's actually 5 Sundays in the month, we are going to be in another doctrine already. So we'll be in the doctrine of sin. Because of creation, it's not hard to go here. I'm not approaching most of these doctrines as you would out of a theology book. It's not wrong to read through those or look at them, but to me, there's a reason why God puts the creation account at the beginning of the Bible, where you're confronted with that right away. I think Genesis 1 and 2 are the most ignored passages of our time, and we're seeing the fruits of that in our culture today, including in our churches. But we will be in Genesis 1 and 2. I do have a couple references in your notes that take us out of there. Let's pray, and then we're going to look at the creation of man. Father, we do thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is written down so that we can refer to it and reference back to it and memorize it and cross-reference it. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us through this study to build a foundation with regard to the doctrine of man or doctrine of mankind. Lord, would you help us to understand and have the foundation to be able to weed through all of the nonsense, all of the cultural rejection of these truths, and hold fast to what is true because of what you have revealed clearly in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 1, we're going to go there first. It's in your notes here. Then God said, this is day 6 of creation, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." All right, that's where we're starting out today. So point number one, man. Number one, we're going to look at 18 observations. I'm going to try and go rather quickly. These are not profound in one sense, but they are foundational in another sense. Man is made by God. The first thing that you notice when you approach the Word of God is that you are made by God. That changes everything. That sets you on a course, a completely different course than if you were evolved on your own. That's even a contradiction, but man is made by God. So that sets the tone for all of mankind to understand many things. But man is made by God. You can see that. God made man. Here's two applications of this. God is our designer, therefore, since he is our maker, since he's our creator, he's our designer, and he determines our purpose. Right? You aren't the one to decide what life is all about. You don't decide why you are here. God made you, and so the maker decides why you are here. He is your designer. He tells you what your design is and what you're designed for, your purpose. That makes sense, right? If God makes you, then he knows why he made you. He knows how he made you, right? By the way, that brings so much already to the table. Because a lot of people despair because if they believe in evolution, they have nothing to live for. And they don't know why they're here. Lynn, is there a problem? Or okay, just seeing if you're sending me a signal or not. All right. The other application here is God is our owner and determines our conduct. He's the one that tells you how to live. The purpose is why you're here. He also, because he is your owner, because he made you, he owns you, then he tells you what's right and wrong. He tells you how to live. He tells you what to do. Our culture has totally lost that. They live for themselves. That's called humanism, when the human is the center of their lives instead of God being the center of their lives. Okay? So, man is made by God. God is our designer and determines our purpose. And God is our owner and determines our conduct. Now let's look at number two here. Based upon the same passage here, man is the highest creation on earth. Did you get that? Anyone here hear anything about Cecil this week? Who's Cecil? Who was Cecil? It gives you a little more anthropomorphic meaning if you give an animal a name. But he was a lion in Africa that was shot by a hunter. A dentist from Wisconsin, was he? I don't remember exactly, but not that that makes a difference, Abigail. We just know that he calls his pop soda for whatever reason. That's all we know. But everyone's upset about Cecil being killed, a lion in Africa, a single lion in Africa. All the while, there are videos being released of Planned Parenthood and their marketing of babies that they have murdered and tore apart. And they're giving no consequence. The media is covering Cecil the lion based upon statistics. The media is covering Cecil the lion two-thirds more. In other words, two-thirds of the news is about a lion that got killed by a hunter in Africa, and they're ignoring people literally bringing in babies that were born alive and killing them so they could sell their body parts. That's what Planned Parenthood has been found out doing. Let me tell you this. God cares way more about you than he does Cecil the lion. Why? Because you are way higher than Cecil the lion. Is it bad that someone killed a lion? Well, that's open for debate, because I'm not necessarily against people hunting. Okay? And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but we're placed on the earth to rule the world and have dominion over this earth. And that involves possibly killing animals or whatever, too. It isn't necessarily morally wrong to kill a lion in Africa. Okay, it may be against the law if you can't kill Cecil the lion, if there's a law against that. But let me tell you, people are way more important than lions. And we have it all mixed up in our society. And the media is not even covering it. Not nearly as much as Cecil the lion. You are the highest form of creation on this earth. And as I understand it, the only created being that is slightly more fancy, if I can use that term, is the angels, but they actually have a lower rating in eternity because we will rule the angels. Okay? So man is the highest creation on earth. God waited till the sixth day. It kind of culminated into the man, right? Mankind. Man is the highest creation on earth. Point number three, your observation number three. Man is made to rule over all the earth. He is made to rule over all the earth. It says there, he says, let us make man. Before man was ever created, he said, let's let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That would be everything on the earth, lions and otherwise. We are of higher value, and we are here to rule the earth, to have dominion over it. Man is made to rule over all the earth. All right? So that gives us more of our purpose and mission too, right? We're here to take charge of the earth, to have dominion over it and all of that. By the way, that, as I understand it, is the only time God gives you the right to build a house, dig a hole, plant a tree, or plant a garden. No other place in all of the Bible gives you the right to kill Cecil the lion, or to step on an ant, or to cut a tree down, or to plant one. Okay? Man is made to rule over all the earth. That is where we get that right, that responsibility. Number four, man is made in the image of God. Way different than any other animal. Any animal, I should say, because I don't believe man is an animal. Way different than an animal, man is made in the image of God. Nothing else created up to this point was created in the image of God. We don't believe that angels are either. There's nothing that seems to indicate that. All right? Man is made in the image of God. Now, what does that mean? Do we look like God in the mirror? Well, God is a spirit, and so we know that's not the case, but somehow we reflect the glory of God. Somehow we reflect the reasoning of God. Somehow we reflect the eternality of God. We're made and we will never end. You know that, right? All human beings, though they have a beginning, will not have an end, right? They're eternal from that aspect, eternal going forward. We have a moral base. All of these are kind of broken and dirty from the fall, and they're incomplete because we're not gods, but we're made in the image of God. So we reflect God. Okay, we have the ability to reason and to decide right and wrong and all of that. So man is made in the image of God. Now, without stirring up your heart in a wrong way, I do want to show you this. What does it say here? Let me look it up in your notes here. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created what? Say it again. Him. You see that? Now, I'm going to give you a verse, and it's in your notes here. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 7 through 9, a passage here. It says here, and this is in the middle of a conversation about head coverings, so we're not going to get into it deeply. It's another whole passage. But for man indeed ought not to cover his head. Do you know, as a man, you should not cover your head? Since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. What does it say there? He, who is he here? Nope. Good guess. In a church, God could be answered half the questions, right? For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he, who is he? The man is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. Now, I've had people get mad at me. Not here, thankfully. I didn't write the Bible. Thankfully. Right, still. But as we understand it, man was created in the image of God, and the woman is a subset of that. That doesn't make her any less. Woman is part of man. Hello? Does that make sense? Her meaning and value is found within the man. And by the way, man was incomplete without her. Okay, so the image of God somehow passes on to the woman, but it's different. It's the man and woman together that probably reflect the image of God fully, if that makes sense. But it says here, the man is in the image of God, the woman is in the glory of the man. So it's slightly different than sometimes what people think. And some people think that's chauvinistic or bigoted or whatever. And it's like, no, you have to understand the creation of God and the roles of men and women. It is not a devaluation of women. In fact, if you follow my logic about mankind being the best and greatest of creation, who was the last one created? The woman. I think the woman was the the best and most wonderful of all of creation. Okay? I don't think I'm making that up. All right? So I think it's the pinnacle, that the finishing touch was the woman. Okay? So it's not devaluing her, but she finds her value and her meaning in the man, as we'll see here. All right? So Adam is created in the image of God before the woman was created. That's what 1 Corinthians 11 seems to underlie too as well. But also, woman comes from the man, and so the image of God is passed on to her. But I think, honestly, both of them together reflect the full image of God. Okay? Number 5, man is made in 2 genders. We're talking about mankind here. Any confusion on that in our culture? Facebook has 50 plus genders to choose from. I think people are confused, don't you? What is it? One of the universities has 6 to choose from. May I share what God says? He says he made them male and female. Help me with that. How many is that? Okay. We don't need Elise up here doing rocket science to help us figure that out, right? Male and female is 2. You're either a what? A male, or you're a?
Female.
That's it. There's 2 genders. There's not 20 genders. And by the way, God made them. Adam didn't get to choose which one he was. And Eve did not get to choose which one she was. God made Adam a male, and Adam was a male. God made Eve a female, and Eve was a... That's it. Right? There's no change. And by the way, that's biological. You can... If you're following... our culture is so goofed up, the news every day is overwhelming. But if you're following, I'll call him Bruce Jenner, he supposedly became a woman. You can't do that biologically. I mean, you could make me into a bird, probably. Right? Graft pieces of flesh onto my back and give me some kind of wings made of my feet or something. But guess what I am? I'm a human being, and guess what? I'm a male human being. You can change me surgically all you want, but I'm still male by my DNA, by my design, by God's design of me. Okay? I might be a pretty faulty specimen of a male, right? But I'm still a male, and I'm a male human being. There's 2 genders, and only 2. There's male, right? That would be the next one, right? Male. And what's the next one? Okay, you can write that down too. Male and female, right? Again, very clear. And why, listen, a lot of Christian groups, churches, and schools reject the historical validity of Genesis. And can you imagine why they are so goofed up? Why they ordain homosexual people or say it's okay to change genders that you can't really do, right? Or whatever the case might be. Because they reject what God has clearly said. And this, again, doesn't take some massive degree. Were you teaching Hebrew last week? Yeah, I saw it. It's like, Sean's teaching Hebrew in VBS. Yes! My kind of teacher, right? But I'm saying it doesn't... You don't have to know Hebrew to get this, right? Male and female, bingo. All you got to do is read it and believe what God reveals about this. And there's nothing here to indicate it's mythological. You know, 6 days, this is the end of the 6th day, we'll make a man, then make a woman. Number 6 here, man is intended to procreate. Again, I would say the majority of Christians reject this. All the way growing up and all of that, they threw out everything, but they like the whole have dominion thing. And we want to be able to build our houses and dig our lots and bury or plant trees and things like that and cut them down again. But we, and this is the only place we get the right to, but they ignore the rest of it. It says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Man is intended by design, by God's design, to procreate. Okay? Man is intended by design to procreate. There's two things here, and I know it's like, am I in a church? Okay, but this is just a building. We are the church, right? But man is intended to procreate, which brings up two applications. He's a sexual being. Have you noticed that society is very hooked on sex? Pornography is the largest industry in the United States of America. Right? And it's not just the internet, it's all the movies and all that now. Stuff that used to be rated R is now rated G because it's considered family friendly, right? But we're sexual beings. God made us to procreate. Sex is not a bad thing. Who created sexuality? Male and female. Who created that idea? God did. Right? The problem is people have rejected God's design for it, then they break it, and then they suffer from it. Okay? Man is a sexual being, both men and women, I should say. And bearing children is commanded, expected, and what? Horrible. It's whatever you do, stop. Right? No, God commanded that. That is inherently part of who we are. What have we done as a nation, as a culture? We have redefined it. We have redefined in the church that children are bad. Yes, we have. And that has bled over into our culture that doesn't care what God says about it. And then children are bad. And so we can do anything we want to the point of murdering born children to prevent them and somehow call it good. Or take, we don't like to be that horrible, so we'll just take pills that could possibly abort children that are conceived within our body, and somehow that's okay. And it's not. Children are good, and they're blessings of God, as we'll see. But that is part of how God made man. If you ignore that, and our culture has rejected that, Christian and otherwise, if we ignore that, we have ceased to be what God wants us to be as a culture. It is amazing to read even 100 years ago what our presidents would say. Do you know what they would say? You ever heard of a guy named Teddy Roosevelt? Not to be confused with Franklin Roosevelt, by the way. Teddy Roosevelt wrote over and over in his public things, he said that the highest calling of woman is to bear children. Did you know that? The President of the United States. He didn't say it's bad to be other things, but if you fail to do that, you failed to do what God has called you to do. By the way, he also said this, if you do not fill our country with children, other cultures will. The guy must have been close to a prophet. Okay, that's just in our culture, and we are so far away from that that we don't even know that that existed, that perspective existed, that children are a good thing, not a bad thing. Okay? So where are we at here? Number 6, man is intended to procreate. He's a sexual being, and bearing children is commanded, expected, and good. That is what marriage, by the way, is all about. That is the central theme of marriage, is this be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Okay? There's other parts, but if you reject that, you've rejected Genesis on that part. Okay? Look at number 7 here. And I add this as a separate one. But it says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over everything. Okay? That was a blessing. He didn't curse them with children. He blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Man is blessed by God. By the way, the enablement to even bear children, I believe, came at this time. He gave us the ability to have children. All right, now let's go to the next verse. We're going to be up to number 8 here. Genesis 2:7. In case you feel very proud, this will help adjust things, men. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. All right? 3 quick observations underneath this, okay? And you might think, what? This doesn't make big fat deal. God created the male. He didn't name him till later. That's why I do what I do here. He created the male first. Is that a big deal or not? There's a verse in Scripture that's in your notes there that says it is very much purposeful. Notice here, and by the way, we haven't got to roles yet, but God did it on purpose to identify his role. First created here. Notice it says here, and I do not permit it. This is all the way in 1 Timothy 2, verses 12 and 13. And I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. What's Paul's proof? By the way, it wasn't culture, because that's not the way we do it in our day. That's not what he said. This is above culture. This doesn't change any time, any place. It says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. God did it on purpose. Paul acknowledges Adam was formed first, and therefore he was expected to be in charge. He was expected to lead. We'll get into that just a little more shortly. But Adam was created first. The male was created first. Number 9, God created the male personally. Isn't it neat? I mean, okay, we're created out of the dust of the ground. We got through that one, right? But it looks like God did it personally. Like everything else, he commanded everything to be. Let there be what? You know, and there was. And then it says here, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He spent time and personally designed it. By the way, the creepy face on your bulletin is supposed to be a morphing of a guy in dirt. It's kind of hard to see if you can see it in color. I was going to put it on a slide, but I didn't get to it here. But it's really a neat picture. I didn't create it, by the way. But he's coming out of the dirt. Okay, that way. So he created the male, Adam, personally. He spent time. He just didn't call him out of the dirt. He formed God out of the dirt, or Adam out of the dirt, the man out of the dirt. Okay, so I think that's neat. He did it differently than all the rest of the animals where he said, let there be, and there was, right? He could have said, let there be a man, and there would be a man. But instead, he formed him. He crafted him out of the dirt. God formed the male, Adam, out of the dust of the ground. Already talked about that. It's interesting that that is where our bodies come from, ultimately, is the dust of the ground. They come from the dust and return to the dust. Now, look at the next passage here. Top of the back side. It says here, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. Okay? So here's number, what number are we on here? 11. God put the male, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. We know that, right? No profoundness here. But please hang on to that, because he put him in a place. He put the man in a place. He did not put the woman in a place. He put the woman with a person. Does that make sense? We'll get to that. Number 12, God assigned the male, Adam, the focus of work. What was he put in the garden for? Take it easy, Adam. You do whatever you want. Enjoy yourself. What was he was put in the garden for what reason? To tend and to keep it. There must still have been trimming and work and things to do. I don't know enough about trees, but I know you can crop them and, you know, form them and whatever. Maybe just pick the food off of them, whatever the case might be. Maybe to plant trees in a methodical fashion, you know, to have more grow or whatever. But he put them in there. So Adam's focus was his work, to tend and to keep the garden. Fair? By the way, God didn't tell Eve to do that, right? Are you with me? She had a harder job. We'll get to that in a second. God assigned the male, Adam, the focus of work, to tend and keep the garden. Number 13, God assigned the male, Adam, the spiritual responsibility. Did you catch that? The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And I say, well, I put this way. God assigned the male, Adam, the spiritual responsibility. Why do I say that? Two reasons here. There's one command, and it says, don't eat of this tree. All of the rest of what? All of the rest of the trees you can eat from. God's pretty generous, pretty flexible, right? All it is one command. He gave him one command, but when did he give it? Before the female was created. I believe God did that on purpose. We've already seen that God created Adam first, and therefore he is responsible. He's in charge. Okay? But also, it was then Adam's response. How did Eve find out about the tree? The man. Right? Eve wasn't here yet. Eve was not created yet. Eve was not formed yet or made yet. Adam was given this responsibility before Eve was there. And by the way, we'll get into this next week and the week after a little more. But when God came to the garden, and you've heard me say this over and over, he says, "Adam, where are you?" And he asked, "Well, I hid from you because I was naked." Well, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I told you not to eat? Right? The responsibility was laid upon Adam. So it was before the female was created. He's given the spiritual responsibility. He's given the responsibility for culture, if you will. The man is. Now look at verses 18 to 20. These are in your notes also. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what they would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." Giraffe, you know, or whatever. "So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him." Okay? We're familiar with this passage. So, number 14, God designed the male to need the female. It's not what? Everything around that God had made up to this point was good. But it says, it is not good for man to be alone. God made the male to need the female. He went and went through all the animals that were in existence, the types of animals, and looked at everyone and named everyone. But out of all of creation, nothing met that need. God designed the male to need the female. And notice here, he says he needs someone comparable, not identical. On purpose, God did not make Adam a guy friend. And I'm not being facetious about that. Guys like to hang around together, play basketball, go fishing, whatever, you know. But God, that wasn't the answer to this need. It's not good for him to be alone. He just didn't need a friend. He needed a wife. Okay? That was the answer to this aloneness. Why? Because it isn't just alone. It's to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. You have to take it in the context of chapter 1 as well. It needs someone comparable, not identical. Anyone here, your wife is the same as you are? Even mentally? My wife's like a supercomputer. I'm like a Palm Pilot. A very old Palm Pilot. Okay? I just can't figure out how her brain works. All right? That's on purpose. God made women to help a guy. I've shared this before, and I'll take a little bit of time to do this, but this is a theory. Okay? I don't have a verse, but I think this is the way women are built. A guy, and if you can look up here, I'm going to draw a half circle. You see this half circle in the sky here, in the air? See the half circle? See my half circle? Allison, tell me you see my half circle. There's no half circle there. What are you talking about? Here's my half circle, and it has jagged edges. Hard, jagged edges. That's the guy. So far, so good. Half circle with hard. He's moldable to a point, but only to a point. It's like, you know, take file, kind of work off the sharp edges, and we got the gaps here and all that. All right? And God says that's not good for man to be alone. So then God, by design, brings the female, and she's, don't listen to all of it first. Please don't be offended. She's a blob that can mold to the jagged edges of the man. And over time, as a man and woman are married, she fills all of those rough voids. And she makes the circle into a hole. The guy changes some. You know, the edges kind of get wore off, and maybe with the wife's help, helps he can see that and work with that. But it's amazing that a woman comes along and she could be whatever the man is not. That's what I call the blob. It's the flexibility factor where she has the brilliance, the way God designed her brain to fit wherever the man needs to be fitted. Okay, it's spiritual compatibility, mental compatibility, intellectual compatibility, friendship compatibility, communicative compatibility, financial compatibility, all of those things, God seems to bring them together. That doesn't mean that they become the expert circle, but they can function well together because they're together. Okay? That's what I talk about as comparable. It's not good for man to be alone, and the woman completes him, and that's the way God designs a woman. By the way, that's why she is not to be a leader. Why? Because her strength is in fitting. Right? Molding together and all of that. Right? It isn't bad. That's the way God designed her, because then the man can be what God wants him to be, but not without her. Right? To need someone comparable, not identical, this someone was not found elsewhere in creation. Okay? Let's keep going here. Genesis 2, 21 and 22. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. That's where I get that from. Right? Like to sleep a lot. I like to sleep a lot, right? And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Several things here. God created the female Eve personally. Right? Just like the man, God spent the time and made. It was like the most intimate creation of all. He takes the rib out of Adam and makes a woman from what he took from Adam. Personally, he spends all of this time. And again, to me, that just elevates the creation of the woman to the top. Okay? Number 16, God made the female Eve out of a rib of the male. Now, indirectly, still dirt, right? But it still elevates her creation. He doesn't start with dirt. He could have grabbed her from dirt. But instead, he took her from the man, which made her, actually, at 1 Corinthians 11, that part that she was created for man and a woman, all that, says that woman is from the man. Originally, she came from the man that one time. But they are part of the same substance. God made the female out of a rib of the male. Number 17 here, God brought her to the man. Did you catch that? Where did God bring man? To a place, right? Again, if you want, pay attention to this, God does not give Eve a garden and say, here's your work, you do that. And then, hey, by the way, here's Adam's phone number. Adam, here's Eve, here's Adam. Kind of see if you get along and get there. No, he brings her to the man, and her assignment is not a place. It's a what? It's a person. The man. He brought her. I will make him a helper comparable. The woman is there to help the man because it's not good for him to be alone. And that entire relationship brings everything together as God intends. The woman focuses on her husband and ultimately her children. And I think I will adequately prove that in the next 2 weeks. That's her primary focus. And the man focuses on his work. You get a man whose wife does not focus on her husband, you get a man who's not good at his work. Not as he could be, right? God brought her to the man, to a person. Lastly here, Genesis 2:23-25, and Adam, there's the first time we see that, I think, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. She's part of me. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one, become one flesh, one entity, functioning as a single entity. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Number 18, God instituted this bringing as a permanent earthly relationship. Remember, marriage is for earth only, right? Permanent earthly relationship. The basis of two working as one. It says they will come together and be one flesh. I don't believe for a minute that that is just talking about physical intimacy only. I think it's you function as a single entity. Okay, you're accomplishing one purpose, not two. This is the realm of sexual fulfillment and bearing of children. And we'll talk about that when we get to the conduct. All of this carries out throughout Scripture that, yes, sexual intimacy is created by God within marriage only. That is where it's intended to be. When people skip out on that scope, they hurt themselves, they hurt others, and they defy what God has defined. And it's where children are to be brought into. And by the way, it's the core of society in ruling the earth. God did not say to rule the earth individually. He said, rule the earth as, or if you will, as couples. That woman helping the man, being that helper there. So there you have 18 observations. The creation of man. Our culture, including our church culture, by and large, has rejected about everything I've told you today. What will you do with what God has said in His Word? Next hour, we want you back here. We were going to do communion, and I changed that. Because how many have heard of Dr. John MacArthur? Grace Community Church in California. He preached a sermon shortly after the Supreme Court decision about same-sex marriage. You remember the 5-4 decision saying that same-sex marriage, they struck down the laws against same-sex marriage. He preaches a very sobering message. That's what we'll look at here in the next, starting in 15 minutes, okay, or at a quarter after. I've already seen it. I want you to see it. And it's probably something you need to see more than once. But it's online. It didn't cost anything. He doesn't charge for his stuff and all that, which I think is a good indicator of his heart anyway. But I want you to see this. We need this kind of teaching. Okay, so Let me pray, and then please be back here in 15 minutes and listen to me. Since Ethan can have people come in here with wet clothes, the kids are like saying that, like confessing that yesterday. They're like, do I actually come across as the ogre that doesn't let... Anyway, listen, don't bring any food in here, but if you want to bring your drink in here and promise not to spill it, you can for this, okay? So I'm suspending... We're creating a small age of grace, a bubble. So anyway, so I want you to be able to come in here, bring your coffee or whatever, just be real careful if you would. And if you spill it, hey, that's my problem, not yours at this point, okay? Let's pray. Lord, bless our fellowship and then bless our study of your word, Lord, this week, next week, every week. And Lord, the message that we'll hear from Dr. John MacArthur, I pray, Lord, that you would prepare us for the difficult days to come. But Lord, do so because we embrace the truth, not because we will face the judgment because we've defied you and your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.